A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on June 21, 1992, in the series The Sacramental Character of the Church, entitled A Means of Grace, A Sign of Belonging. The scripture readings are Genesis 17, verses 1 through 8 and 22 through 27, and Acts 2, verses 36 through 42. The texts for the sermon are Genesis 17, verse 11, and Acts 2, verses 38 and 39. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
Well, Peter, you're a piker. Peter had 3,000 on Pentecost. You a mere 35. Well, it was a great day when Peter was preaching, and it was a hinge day for the church. But interestingly, that conception of the covenant community, which had characterized Israel through all its days, was reaffirmed in a most beautiful way. The covenant community, instituted with Abraham and Sarah, and the birth of Isaac, was a special people called by God. And that community had a sign of belonging, a rite of initiation. It was the sign of circumcision. And in that Old Testament community, Abraham at 99 years, Ishmael at 13 years, yes, parents, there is hope even for adolescents. And if we would go to chapter 21, little Isaac at 8 days. All the same sign, all the same meaning. A means of grace, a sign of belonging. This special people mark in their flesh as set apart by God for special purpose to be God's people in the world, to bear witness to the light and the salvation that God's grace would create and was creating, by which God finally would realize God's eternal purposes of love for the world. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter pointed to Jesus, the crucified one who was now exalted by God and present in the power of the Spirit. He said, "This Jesus, whom you crucified, God has raised up." And they said, "Well, what should we do?" And Peter said, "Repent, that is, change your mind. Revolutionize your thinking. Recognize that you have to turn around 180 degrees and recognize that this one that was crucified was indeed God's special envoy, person. The Word of God incarnate in your midst. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, to the extent of the world, the universalizing grace of God now through the gospel. The promise is to you." What promise? The covenant promise. The promise that God made to Abraham and Sarah. "I will be a God to you, and to your seed after you." The heart of the covenant promise is the word of God, "I will be your God, you will be my people." And in that Old Testament community, the sign of circumcision functioned as a mark in their flesh of special relationship to God for special work in the world. And in the New Testament day, at that hinge point in the life of the people of God, Peter stood up and said, "It's the same promise, and it means the same thing And so change your minds and be washed in waters of baptism, for the promise is yours as well and your children's. Baptize. A means of grace, a sign of belonging. And I want to begin this morning to reflect with you for a week or two or three or four on the sacramental character of the church. I could do little more than introduce the idea this morning, and probably I can do that best by giving you a bit of a personal narrative of how I have moved through the years of my ministry to an ever-deepening appreciation and experience of the meaningfulness of the sacramental life of the church. Now, as Pam said, I am an incurable preacher. I can't really help myself. That's all I can do. And I just keep on doing it and would probably wither up and die if I couldn't do it anymore. I'm reflective of the Reformed tradition in which I have been nurtured and shaped and educated, the centrality of the Word of God, the centrality of the proclamation of the Word of God, the centrality of preaching. In the Reformed tradition, we have said that table and pulpit are equally important on the same level. But as a matter of fact, the pulpit has far ascended or moved to the ascendancy. We are a people of the Word. We have been shaped by preaching. We have continued to baptize adults and infants. And in our tradition, quarterly to come to this table, but really the sermon has been the thing. I always believed in the power of preaching. I never experienced in my earlier years a great impact of the sacraments, in our case, celebration of baptism, the Lord's Supper. The Roman Catholic tradition has 7 sacraments. It doesn't really matter. It's foolish to argue about those things. But in our tradition, in Protestantism at large, baptism, Lord's Supper, and we've continued to do that. But I have to admit that I was leery of baptism in my earlier years. If you would go back in the archives of the Church Herald, the house organ of the Reformed Church in America, back in about 60, 61, 62, when I was in this congregation right out of seminary, should have really been put in a cage for a few years, but they let me loose on this congregation back in the early 60s, and a great sign of grace is the fact that after being gone for 7 years, they even asked me back. But in those early years, I wrote an article that appeared in the Church Herald, Covenant Children Must Be Converted, title. What was I worried about? I was worried about too much reliance on covenant relationship. I was worried about too much reliance on the sacrament of baptism as creating a genuine and authentic relationship to God. I wanted to say, you've got to be converted. Oh, I used to burn up the aisles, pound the pulpit, really get excited in my youth. And now in the springtime of my senility, I have come to see that the sermon is a very shaky business. The more preachers I get to know and the more sermons that I hear as I flip through the dial and watch the television tube, the more distrust I have of preachers and their preachings. It's altogether too much freedom given to preachers, too much arbitrary word going out with such pomp and circumstance, with such dogmatic assurance, knowing things that one wonders if even God knows. I don't trust the sermon anymore. I still believe in preaching. We're not going to take a vote on that in this congregation this morning. I've got a few vocational years to fulfill yet, so I want us in another 10 or dozen years we'll take that vote. But I want to say to you, I am more impressed today with this baptismal fount and the water that runs down the beautiful little noses of lovely children. Not as a cutesy little ceremony, but as a sign of grace. As a sign of grace. The sermon was given vivid and eloquent expression this morning before the sermon began. The message was in the infant in arms. The infant presented. The infant passive. The infant signed. The recipient of grace. And as that child grows, that child has been marked. And in our practice, as we continue to deepen that experience, we present the candle so that it might be an annual celebration, that the child might learn to know, I have been baptized. I have been graced. I am claimed. I belong to Jesus. That child will have imprinted upon his or her mind that it will be in the very fabric of their being that they belong to God through Jesus Christ. And that a day will come, as we had here 2 or 3 weeks ago, when this whole rail was lined up with wonderful young people, when they could say in their own person, yes, I belong to Jesus. My decision, my choice. And then we brought them here and gave them a fatter candle from this same fire and said to them, now, no longer need your parents light that candle on the anniversary of your baptism, but you light that candle when you need to know the light of Jesus in the darkness of your adolescence, in the struggles of your youth, into your adulthood. The story is told of Luther, who had this vivid sense of the reality of the devil that it may be apocryphal, I don't know, but you know, he threw the inkwell at the devil. And whenever he got severely tempted, Luther would say, I have been baptized. I have been baptized. I have been claimed. I have been owned. I am undergirded. I am overshadowed. I am embraced. Baptism, a means of grace. I don't know how it happens. Nothing magical, superstitious. The promise of God and our obedient response, trusting grace. In the early years of my ministry, I trusted the sermon, my ability to convince, to persuade, to demonstrate. Now I know that if you put a paper bag over my head and put a string around my neck, I would be dead in a short time because all that proceeds from my mouth is gas, deadly gas. It has no power except God breathe through the Word. And in the early days of my ministry, I was worried that children baptized might count too much on it and therefore called them to conversion. Now I want to say, I want to love our little ones. I want to nurture them. I want to say to them until I'm blue in the face, you belong to Jesus, you belong to Jesus, you belong to Jesus, you belong to Jesus, until they will, as a rose, quietly, gently opening before the warming rays of the sun, simply open up their lives to the God who created them and has loved them from everlasting to everlasting. I don't know why in the early years of my own experience I didn't trust my own experience, which was to have such nurture, to have such a home and such a church, so that I never knew a moment in which I did not know that I belonged to God. But now, at least, before it's too late, for all of us here, we can come to see in baptismal waters, in the application of the water to the child, pure grace. All is grace. All is grace. Not in our coming forward, not in our affirmations, not in our rigorous execution of duty, not in our morality, not in our status, not in our works, nothing in us. All in God, all in grace. The sign of it, the infant marked, receiving passively a sign that says, all is God, all is grace. You are not your own, but you belong to your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That drama, this water, bread, cup, touch. We are bodies after all. And grace is experienced when we touch and taste and hug and partake and experience the water of regeneration. All is of God. All is of grace. Thank God we have been baptized, signed as belonging, graced. All is grace. Isn't that good? Thanks be to God.